Good morning again, and welcome to worship at West End. We're so glad that each of you are here. I have a few announcements for you this morning. On Wednesday, the Spring Gardening Series continues. It starts at 6 p.m., and this week we'll be learning about enhancing our garden with mulching and watering practices. So if you're interested in gardening, please come and join us for that Wednesday night program. Everyone is invited tomorrow night to a Galentine's Day celebration. It's with Sound Riot, and it's a concert benefiting Mending Hearts. It'll be tomorrow at 7:30 downstairs in McWhorter Hall. Also, we have tickets for the Pancake Supper. Shrove Tuesday is the day before Ash Wednesday. This year, it falls on February the 28th, and there is a Pancake Supper. So we all eat pancakes and then come up and worship in the sanctuary. It's a jazz mass, and so it's very exciting. An event that you won't want to miss. This will be the first time we've been able to do it in 2 years. It's falling later, so it's not going to be snowed out this year, hopefully. The last announcement is that we have a charge conference on February the 21st. That'll be at 5 p.m. in room 310. Prior to the ministry table meeting. Jesus says to us, "You are the salt of the earth. You are the light of the world." How might we live that out in the spaces and places we go every day?
Christ, we do all.
Forever.
Happy are those who walk in God's ways. Blessed are those who observe God's commandments. Faithful are those whose eyes are fixed on righteousness. Joyful are those whose hearts are filled with praise. Come, let us love the Lord our God.
We come to worship the one who leads us in the ways to life.
With every choice we make, we show how faithful we are to God's hopes for us. Yet, despite the mistakes we make, the missteps that we take, God remains forgiving and gracious. Let us come to our God speaking honestly about our lives. Loving God, you call us to walk in your ways, observe your commandments, and love you as you have loved us. You offer us a community of abundant blessing, with rich soil to promote dynamic growth. Yet, we often turn away from you to satisfy our own wants and desires. We forsake the way of love and forgiveness, giving in to petty jealousies and quarreling, and surrendering our lofty ideals to our baser inclinations. Forgive us, O God, when we flee from your embrace. Draw us into community with you and with one another. Shower us with the cleansing waters of humility, that we may reclaim our purpose, find nourishment and growth in labors of love, to bring your kingdom into our midst. God is alive and at work nurturing our growth, nurturing our needs, and reconciling us to one another. God hears the confessions of our hearts and forgives generously, sharing love with all who follow in God's ways. It is through God's amazing grace that we are all forgiven.
Thank you.
Let us pray together the prayer for illumination. Lord, open our hearts and minds by the power of your Holy Spirit, that as the scriptures are read and the word proclaimed, we may hear with joy what you say to us today. Amen. A lesson from the Gospel according to Matthew. You are the salt of the earth. But if salt has lost its taste, how can its saltiness be restored? It is no longer good for anything, but it is thrown out and trampled underfoot. You are the light of the world. A city built on a hill cannot be hid. No one, after lighting a lamp, puts it under a bushel basket, but on the lampstand, and it gives light to all in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father in heaven. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
If there are any other kids that want to come forward, you're more than welcome. And you can bring a parent too if you want. One of my favorite parts of worship is when we baptize people. Most of the time it's a baby. Does anybody know what we use in baptism? Yeah. Water, exactly. There's something else that we also use, and I have a clue, yes. A candle. And at the top of the candle is usually fire, right? Light is what the candle. So at the beginning of the baptism, when everyone's focused on the pastor and usually the baby coming forward, another pastor takes this fancy lighter thing. It probably has a real name, but I don't know what it is. I should have looked it up. Anyway, what they do is they take fire from the big Christ candle, and they light a candle that looks like this. On the front of the candle has a dove, which usually represents He, so the Holy Spirit, and it has a shell that represents the water, and it has the light on top. And that candle represents the presence of Christ. When we see that candle, we think of, oh, God is with us. Jesus is here with us. And on Easter Sunday morning, you'll see Michael, and he'll bring it in, this big, huge candle, to represent that Christ has risen. Christ is with us always. And when we light the baptism candle, we say, that same love of Christ exists in each one of us. And so whenever you see fire or light, you can think of the fact that God's love is with us. Let's pray together. Lord, thank you that we can come to church and be with friends and learn more about you and your love and your presence. Thank you that your love is inside of each of us and that we can share that love with others. It's in your name we pray. Amen. Thanks, guys, for coming down. About 6 years ago, I joined the staff of West End as a pastoral intern. And part of the reason why I was so excited to be at West End was because I wanted to work with college students. And West End is perfectly positioned across from one of our great universities here in Nashville. And then, this past summer, this church and the Tennessee Annual Conference sent me as an evangelist to Vanderbilt's campus. Hold up, wait. Did she just say the E word? Evangelist? Whoa. I get it. We don't usually use that term because it kind of has a little bit of a negative connotation. Sometimes our evangelist practices have been coercive, manipulative, and really around the world, sometimes violent. So I get it. That word might mean something different to you. But this morning, I think that our scripture passage has something to teach us about evangelism. I learned about evangelism from a woman named Elaine Heath. She wrote a book. She's a Methodist theologian and professor and pastor. And in her book, she describes evangelism as anything to do with the initiation into the reign of God as seen through Jesus Christ. More simply put to me, it is an invitation into the participation of the kingdom of God. Again, when I came to West End, I wanted to create something that college students could be involved in. And so I created a lunch. This was very easy because we've always had those connections to create spaces for students. And I was thinking, what should I do with the program besides eat food? And at the time, I was doing a spiritual practice every night. It's called the Prayer of the Examen, and it's a practice that was given to us by St. Ignatius, and he developed it for his monks. It's very simple. Each night, he wanted them to think about the thing that gave them the most joy that day, and the thing that gave them the least amount of joy. The thing that, the place where they felt the most connected with the love of God, and the place where they felt the disconnect, the place where they felt the peace of Christ, and the place where they didn't feel peace. And that this practice would allow them the next day to live into those spaces where they felt that joy and that peace and connection with God. And so with the college students, I thought, let's do this together. Let's share the best part of our week and the worst part of our week, our happies and crappies, our pits and our peaks, our joys and concerns, our roses are thorns and our buds, which is where we're hopeful. Right? There's lots of names for it. But basically, it's a place to share the things you're excited about and also those things that you might not post on Facebook. You might not want people to know. And it creates relationship with each other. So I believe that the first step of evangelism is that ability to share your story with someone else, to share what's going on in your life, and to develop a trust where you might take a few more steps to share about the love of God and what God is doing in your life. Our scripture passage has the next couple of steps that we might learn about inviting people into the kingdom of God. Usually when I hear sermons about salt and light, they beautifully take the individual things about salt and the individual things about light, and they tell you about what we have to learn from those things. This morning, I want to talk about what these two things have in common to me, not just their individual things. When we talked about salt and light at the Tuesday morning Bible study, one of the guys present said, when we were in the Holy Land with Michael this past year, they invited us to the Salt of the Earth service. People were invited forward to take a pinch of salt and eat it to think about being the salt of the earth. At first, I was like, this is the best idea ever. We get to participate with our senses and worship. And then I thought, that sounds disgusting. Because salt is such a poignant, strong flavor. It's not really eaten by itself because it's so strong and noticeable. The same thing is true with the city on the hill. You notice it from a distance. It's conspicuous. When we're filled with the love of God, our lives are conspicuous. Our actions are noticeable, filled with that love. When I was in divinity school, I was introduced and inspired by a man named, introduced to the works of Howard Thurman. He has inspired many others, including most of the people active in the civil rights movement. Howard Thurman in the early 1900s took a coalition of black leaders to Asia in order to learn from Mahatma Gandhi about nonviolent peace resistance work. And he's written over 50 books, inspired liberation theology for much of the black church and our church as well. When he was a young boy, he grew up in Daytona Beach, Florida, with a grandmother who was an ex-slave. The school he attended only went to the seventh grade. And he wanted more education, so he decided that he would travel to Jacksonville, Florida, to continue that education. His family pooled their resources and sent him. When he got to the railroad station to buy his ticket, he purchased the ticket with that money. And then they told him that he would also have to pay passage for his bag. He didn't have any more resources, so he sat in the train station, crushed, unsure of what to do. And then he noticed a man. Howard Thurman describes him as a black man in overalls. And this man walks over to the ticket counter, purchases the passage for his bag, the ticket, and then goes away. He doesn't introduce himself. But 65 years later, when Howard Thurman wrote his autobiography, he dedicated it to the stranger in the railroad station in Daytona Beach, Florida, who made my broken dreams a reality. You see, this man's actions were conspicuous, even though he was anonymous. This deep, strong generosity and love that he had, noticing needs in the world and doing an act that was so noticeable by Howard Thurman, it transformed and changed his entire life. See, something else salt and light have in common is that they're not an end unto themselves. In non-philosophical terms, it means that when you turn on a light, the light illuminates what's already present in the room. You don't look at the light. It's really for the purpose of seeing what's already there. The same thing is true with salt. We use it to flavor, to preserve, to heal. The salt is used to better something else. One of my favorite podcasts is called On Being. And a few weeks ago, I listened to an interview with Sister Simone Campbell. You might know her as the nun on a bus. She travels around the United States creating awareness of poverty and social justice. She's an activist, a lobbyist, a lawyer, and of course a nun. And at the end of the interview, a young woman stands up to the microphone and asks, How do I know when I'm doing enough? And Sister Simone says, well, it's a listening to the world around you and the needs that are there. But there's an even deeper listening, and sometimes this is harder, to listen to yourself, your calling, who you're called to be and what you're called to do in the world. She describes the world as a snow globe. The snow and particles are flying around us, and sometimes it's hard to see that picture. We have to sit, be still and silent in order to listen deeply to who we're called to be and what we're called to do. And then she says, and what you're called to do, you're already gifted for. You already have the gifts that you need to live out your calling. Because Jesus doesn't say, if you worked harder, you could be the salt of the earth. Or if only you prayed more, you could be the light of the world. This isn't an agrarian example where he says you're a seed and someday you'll be a beautiful flower. He says, you are the salt of the earth. You are the light of the world. You're already gifted for what you're called to do and be in the world. He might be mad at me for saying this, but this is one of the best things about working with Michael Williams. He calls out the salt and light in those around him. And then even more than that, he lives out his own saltiness in the world. Every week we get to watch him be his storyteller, sagey self. His wisdom, it's just sort of him here in front of us, being that beacon of light. This past week I had coffee with a friend of mine. And during our conversation, she mentioned that a friend of hers told her that she was having a faith crisis and wanted to know a little bit more about Christianity and faith. And so my friend told me that she was a little bit nervous about what to say and kind of afraid that she might ask some sort of theological question that she had no idea about. And I thought, I said, well, if she asks a theological question, all three of us can kind of work through that if we want. But what she really wants to know is about your faith and who you are, because she's already seen that you have this care for others and a gentle listening. We're called to invite people into the kingdom of God, to illuminate what is already present, what God is already doing, and invite others to participate. So I ask you, how might you be salty? How might you have light? And how might you be an evangelist in the spaces and places that you go every day? Thanks be to God. One of the ways that we rejuvenate our salty light is by saying creeds. If you'll stand with me and turn to page 883 in your hymnal, and we'll recite the United Church of Canada's creed. We are not alone. We live in God's world. We believe in God who has created and is creating, who has come in Jesus, the Word made flesh, to reconcile and make new, who works in us and others by the Spirit. We trust in God. We are called to be the church, to celebrate God's presence, to love and serve others, to seek justice and resist evil, to proclaim Jesus crucified and risen, our judge and our hope, in life, in death, in life beyond death, God is with us. We are not alone. Thanks be to God. Amen. If you'll stay standing and share your light, your salt, with someone around you, the peace of Christ be with you.
We welcome all who gather to worship with us today. If you're a guest among us, we want to extend a special word of welcome to you. We're glad you're here, and we hope that you will join us for coffee and fellowship in Reed Hall, which is through the doors to your right, my left, following the worship service today. Andrew ministers would love to greet you and answer any questions you might have. They'll be stationed in Reed Hall and also in the narthex, which is at the rear of the sanctuary. After the service, you can identify them by their blue name tags. If you're a student, either undergraduate or graduate, you're invited to join the student community for lunch and faith discussion following the service today. They will gather in Reed Hall. In the pew racks in front of you, you're going to find a gray card. On one side of that card, you can record any comments you may have for staff or lay leadership. If you'd like someone to call you regarding your comment, please indicate your contact information on the card. On the other side, you'll find a place for prayer requests. Please indicate if you do put a prayer request, if you'd like for it to be kept confidential, or you're okay if we share it. And then the cards can be placed in the offering plates when they're passed down the pews in a few moments. We invite you to share your attendance with us today by signing the attendance pad that you'll find at the end of each aisle near the center aisle. If you've not already passed it down. As you pass it back down, please note those who are sitting around you and be sure to greet them after worship today. The rose on the table today celebrates the birth of Brian Thomason Freeman II, who was born February 2nd to Katie and Brian Freeman. I want to let you know that the services for Vonnie Opal Luton, who died on January 28th, will be held this Friday, February 17th, here in the sanctuary at 3 o'clock. Visitation will precede the service in McWhorter Hall beginning at 1. I also want to invite you to be in prayer for the way forward. At the United Methodist General Conference in 2016, human sexuality was a major issue, yet delegates on opposite sides couldn't even agree on a method of discussing the issue, much less the issue itself. Delegates ultimately voted to accept the recommendation of the Council of Bishops to delay further debate on homosexuality and name a special commission that will examine and possibly recommend revisions of every paragraph in the Book of Discipline that relates to human sexuality. The 32-member commission on a way forward has begun its work, and each conference is taking 1 week to have intentional prayer for the mission of the United Methodist Church, which is to make disciples of Jesus Christ for the transformation of the world, and to pray for the work of the commission on the way forward. This week, beginning today, is the prayer week for the Nashville area, or the Memphis and Tennessee conferences. And they were appointed by the United Methodist Council of Bishops. So I invite you to take time this week to please be in prayer for the United Methodist Church, and especially for the work of the commission on the way forward. Now we ask to prepare our hearts and minds to hear you speak to us, loving God, as we lift up both our silent and spoken prayers. The Lord be with you. Let us pray. Almighty God, through the testimony of those who know your love, you have guided us to ask for what we need. Our Lord Jesus Christ called his disciples to live as a city on a hill and a lamp on a stand, that all may see the glory of God. We pray for the church, the community of disciples. Grant that we who claim the name of Christ may shine as light into our dark world. We pray for those who serve the church. Let our pastors, teachers, and those who minister in the name of Christ forsake worldly knowledge that perishes and be led by wisdom born of your Spirit. May they be led by your truth. Blessed are those who honor your commandments, O Lord. We pray for our world, for the governments, and for its leaders. May all who rule honor justice and compassion and serve the common good that people may flourish. You teach us to offer food to the hungry and satisfy the needs of the afflicted. We pray for the sick, the hungry, the poor, the homeless, those who are oppressed. Let your church minister to those in distress and bear witness to your abiding compassion and light for all who suffer. To you, O God, we pray through Christ, with Christ, in the unity of the Holy Spirit. And we ask that you hear our prayer, God, as we pray together the prayer that Jesus taught his disciples to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Like a spring whose waters never fail, God calls us to share what we have received. Let us offer ourselves and our gifts to God.
so now go, inviting others to participate in the kingdom of God through the love of Jesus and the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Go in that joy and peace.